Chapter 12, Angels Are Amazed.
This appeared in Notebook Leaflets, Methods, number 11. Angels are amazed that men regard so lightly and indifferently the vital truths which mean so much to the sinner and continue willing subjects under the captivity of Satan and sin, when so much has been endured in the divine person of the Son of God. Oh, that we may cultivate habits of contemplation, of the self-denial and self-sacrifice of the life of Christ, until we shall have a deep sense of the aggravating character of sin and hate it as the vile thing it is. Let the mind awaken to gratitude that through Christ Jesus the Father is faithful to fulfill the promise to forgive all sin. His mercy and His love are forever an assurance as we look upon Christ uplifted upon the cross of Calvary. Will we individually rise to the appreciation as far as we have capacity to comprehend the truth that God Jehovah loves and forgives us if we believe in and love Jesus? Oh, what a glorious truth! God is waiting to forgive all who come unto Him with repentance. Preach it. Lift up Jesus high that the people may behold Him. The Jews saw in the sacrificial offerings the symbol of Christ whose blood was shed for the salvation of the world. All these offerings were to typify Christ and to rivet the great truth in their hearts that the blood of Jesus Christ alone cleanses from all sin, and without the shedding of blood there is no remission of sins. Some wonder why God desired so many sacrifices and appointed the offering of so many bleeding victims in the Jewish economy. Every dying victim was a type of Christ, which lesson was impressed on mind and heart in the most solemn sacred ceremony and explained definitely by the priests. Sacrifices were explicitly planned by God Himself to teach this great and momentous truth that through the blood of Christ alone there is forgiveness of sins. This grand and saving truth is oft repeated in the hearing of believers and unbelievers, and yet it is with amazement that angels behold the indifference of men to whom these truths mean so much. How little is evidenced that the church feels the force of the wonderful plan of redemption. How few make this truth that only through faith in the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ there is forgiveness of the sins that cling to human beings like the foul leprosy, a living reality. What depths of thought should this awaken in every mind? He needed no suffering to atone for himself. His was a depth of suffering proportionate to the dignity of his person and his sinless, exalted character. Letter 43, 1892. Spasmodic repentance. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Revelation 3, 20 and 21. Some may say, why is this message sounded so constantly in our ears? It is because you do not thoroughly repent. You do not live in Christ and have Christ abiding in you. When one idol is expelled from the soul, Satan has another prepared to supply its place. Unless you make an entire consecration to Christ and live in communion with Him, Unless you make him your counselor, you will find that your heart, open to evil thoughts, is easily diverted from the service of God to the service of self. At times, you may have a desire to repent. But unless you decidedly reform and put into practice the truths you have learned, unless you have an active, working faith, a faith that is constantly increasing in strength, your repentance is as the morning dew. It will give no permanent relief to the soul. A repentance caused by a spasmodic exercise of the feelings is a repentance that needs to be repented of, for it is a delusive. A violent exercise of the feelings which does not produce in you the peaceable fruits of righteousness leaves you in a worse state than you were in before. Every day the tempter will be on your track with some delusive, plausible excuse for your self-serving, your self-pleasing, and you will fall back into your old practices, neglecting the work of serving God, by which you would gain hope and comfort and assurance. God calls for willing service, a service inspired by the love of Jesus in the heart. God is never satisfied with half-hearted, selfish service. He requires the whole heart, the undivided affections, and a complete faith and trust in His power to save from sin. God will honor and uphold every true-hearted, earnest soul who is seeking to walk before Him in the perfection of the grace of Christ. The Lord Jesus will never leave nor forsake one humble, trembling soul. Shall we believe that God will work in our hearts, that if we allow Him to do so, He will make us pure and holy, by His rich grace qualifying us to be laborers together with Him? Can we, with keen, sanctified perception, appreciate the strength of the promises of God and appropriate them to our individual selves, not because we are worthy, but because Christ is worthy, not because we are righteous, but because by living faith we claim the righteousness of Christ in our behalf? Manuscript 125, 1901.